Parshat Ki Tetzeh begins, when you will go out to war against your enemies, and Hashem your God will deliver them into your hand, and you will capture its captivity, and you will see among its captivity a woman who is beautiful in form, and you will desire her, you may take her to yourself for a wife, and that's the idea of the Eshet Yifat Torah. I'd like to continue the theme that we spoke about last week, that whatever parsha we read at any given time of the year, the parsha impacts the year. It affects the mindset of whatever is going on at that particular time. As we spoke about last week, Shoftim always introduces Elul. Parsha Ki Tetzeh is in the midst of Elul, and therefore the mindset in learning this parsha is, what messages can we glean from the different sukkim in the parsha for Chodesh Elul? And that's going to be our focus today, to take a look not so much at the mitzvah of Eshet Yifat Torah, which deserves its own study, but the idea of going out to war against your enemies. Let's raise one or two questions. The overarching question is, what impact does it have on Chodesh Elul? How can we grow from this? And the specific questions are, one, when you will go out to war against your enemies, ki tetzeh l'milchama l'oyvecha. Let's contrast this with Parshat Baloscha, where in Parshat Baloscha it says, if a war comes upon you in your land, what's the difference between a war coming upon you and you go out to war? Rashi, who's sensitive to this, says, that's why it's a Mechamet Rashut. It's a voluntary war. So within the context of halachically, we're talking about two different wars. On our understanding, which is many different levels of understanding, what do we learn from the fact of ki tetzeh l'milchama, when you go out to war? The second question, and this is a question that Rav Gifter notes in source number 11. Let's take a look for a moment. The pasuk begins by referring to Klal Yisrael, enemies in the plural, your enemies. And you don't pick this up in the English, but then changes to a singular stating, and Hashem, your God, will deliver him into your hands. Unitano Hashem Elokecha b'yadecha. Unitano is singular, not unitanam. And he will give them, but he will give you. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, why does the pasuk move from against your enemies to he will deliver? And you see in source 1, the art scroll, translates it as them, because that makes sense contextually, but they're explaining. When really, the correct translation would be, when you go against your enemies, plural, and Hashem, your God, will deliver him into your hand, and you will capture its captivity. Why the switch from the plural to the singular? These two questions will form the first level of our shir, and we'll take a look at three ideas to answer these questions with a focus on Elul. And then the second part of the shir will focus in on the next pasuk, and you will see among its captivity the idea of Vira'isa, the idea of seeing. And that's the Emirat Hashem where we're headed today. So let's take a look, level number 1A, first idea. Nesiva Shalom Neslamin Arevi. And he says, V'hu kide'ita b'zohar HaKadosh u'b'sfarim HaKadoshim shimurumaz b'zeh l'milchama nitzchi ch'yesh l'yudim oivo b'nefesh u'ayetzahara. And in fact, the Sfarim say that this is now, in our day and age, this is Pshat in the Pasuk, right? Originally, it was about going out to war. Today, we don't have the Sanhedrin, we don't go out to war. The Pshat of the Pasuk now is, it's the war against the Yetzer Hara. This is the war that we fight all year. But as Rav Sol Salanter says, all year should be Elul, at least Elul should be Elul. This is of our job in Elul, it's the fight of the Yetzer Hara. U'b'chodesh zeh sh'yimei ha'tshuva yudi l'adat. This month, the month of Tshuva, a person should know. Sheko mitziyut alei adamot hi l'milchama l'oyvecha. The whole purpose that we are here in this world is to fight our enemy. And that's what it means, the asterisk in 3. Ki tetzeh, to go out. Midaber al yiridas ha'adam l'olam hazeh. Ki tetzeh, when you leave the upper spheres of the heavens and you leave that world and you enter into our world, know that when you leave me'olam ha'neshamel samakom namucha lamatlo v'tavo, the world of travail, the world of challenge, the Torah says, ki tetzeh, shemiyanim yitziyat ha'neshama. The moment you leave this world and enter this world, know, ha'matara l'milchama l'oyvecha, Yisrael, you're here to fight your enemies. Your enemy. In order to do one's job in this world, our entire purpose of coming down to this world is to fulfill our mission that Hashem put on us, and that is to do the job that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. And a person has to recognize that we're not here in this world based on the pasuk of Lo Atem Shlachtem Oti Hena Ki Elokim, that we're not in this world just to fulfill our passions and our desires. Lo Atem Shlachtem Oti Hena Lo Lamanchem, it's not for you in the squiggly that came down to this world. Ki Elokim, my whole purpose is Elokuto Yitbarach, is to be able to do my mission in this world. And very much a part of this mission, as we'll see in a minute, is to be able to overcome and conquer one part of our Yetzer Hara. And this is the idea that the Saba Kedisha Mishlonim says, Sheyom sheyudi lo asabo me'uma lachisat Yetzer Hara eino nechshav liyom b'chayim. If during your entire day you did not overcome your Yetzer Hara even once, so then what was the purpose of that day? Like, hello, what did you do with yourself? Noam Elimelech, that the Adam lo nivra, Shadam lo nivra b'olam rach l'shaber et ha-tefer, we're only here to break our inclinations. Let's put this in English. You want to eat something. I don't really need it. I'm not really that hungry. I just want to eat it. Why? I just want to eat it. Say, let me wait 5 minutes. So after 5 minutes, either you'll eat it or you won't eat it. But at least you've accomplished saying, I'm in control. I can tell the Yetzer Hara, wait 5 minutes. I can, about to say something, and I say, I really shouldn't say it. And I overcome saying it. I beat my Yetzer Hara. Why are we here in this world? We're here in this world to continuously battle those negative impulses. Not to be overindulging in the physical world, not to hurt people, to be able to control one's desires. That is the reason why we're here. The idea of eat, drink, and be merry, that's the idea of the goyim. What is our mantra? Our mantra is Adam la'amal yula. We are here to work. We're here to struggle. We're here to be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And know that Rabbeinu Kadoshim teach us in Source 4, every person has a specific mission they've come down into this world. And part of this mission is to overcome a certain aspect of our evil inclination. And how do you know what that is? It's the thing that's going to come over and over again in our life. It's the thing that we're going to need, Mesiris Nefesh, to overcome. We all know what is, you know, for one person it may be anger, for another person it may be patience, for another person it may be stinginess, for another person, I don't need to tell you, give you ideas of negative midos, right? We all know that there's some quality in us, there's some Yetzer Hara in us, right, talking excessively, whatever it is, that is something that we are here to overcome. And as he says, you know, it's not just enough to know how to shoot, you also have to know how to aim. So a person can spend their whole life overcoming many different Yetzer Haras, but they're neglecting to overcome the Yetzer Hara for which they came down to this world. And that explains, again, 1A on our first level, when you go out to war against your enemies, when you go out from the upper spheres down to this world, know your purpose here is Adam Amal Yulad. We're here to struggle against the Yetzer Hara. It's called enemies because we have a lot of Yetzer Haras that we have to overcome in many, many different areas. But, and Hashem, your God, will deliver it into your hand, or him into your hand. There's one specific Yetzer Hara that we have to focus in on, and that has to be, not at the expense of others, but our Mesiris Nefesh, and our focus has to be specifically on that Yetzer Hara. This idea that we are here, in order to struggle, that we're here in order to fight the Yetzer Hara, is something that we have to bring into our consciousness, again, all year, but very much so in Elul. As the Omoshe Rav Scheinerman points out from the Michtam Eliyahu, where he says, after the Chet Eitz Hadat, we find something very fascinating, that the way we talk to ourselves. When we talk from the voice of the Eitz Hara, it's always in the first person. I want to say this. I want to do this. I want to wear this. I. When it's about the Yetzer Tov, somehow it turns into the third person. You know, you really should daven now. You really should get up out of bed. You really shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't do that. So the I is what I identify with. It's my Yetzer Hara. The you seems to be like this outer force that's like, you know, trying to impose its will on me. And we have to understand that there's really only one person. And it's one person who has to hear both voices in the I mindset. I want to do this. The Yetzer Tov is part and parcel of me, and the fact that the Yetzer Hara speaks in the first person and the Yetzer Tov speaks in the third person is something that we have to work on avoiding and recognizing that, if anything, it's the opposite. I want to get up right now. You are telling me to stay in bed, not I, and be able to flip this around. And just the fact, this is a very beautiful vort from the Sos Emes in source number 7. We started saying David Hashem Ori, Im takum alai milchama, if war comes upon me, bezos ani boteach, with this, with zo, I have faith. With Hashem I have faith, with Amun I have faith. There's a lot of things that bezot is. Says the Sos Emes, bezot, haynu shadam boteach mishum shumakir b'milchama. Etzem hakara yisibat bitkono. Bezot, the fact that I know it's a war. Then I know I can be successful. I know I'm in battle mode. I know I have to be aware. I know I have to hear the way that I'm talking. And I have to recognize that the whole point of me being in this world is to fight. This is why, a fight may be the wrong word, struggle, overcome, being able to be successful. These nisyonos, that's the avodas ha'adam, adam l'amal yulad. We're here to struggle. We're here to overcome. We're not here to have a martini on the beach. And this is what we have to recognize, that ki teitzein l'milchama, for the moment you left, you went out from heaven. This is till you get back there. This is the whole raison d'etre of why we're here, overcoming them in the collective. Aloi vecha unetano Hashem b'adecha, one specific that we have to work on. I'll just add here on this first level that the Mesils Bavava Rav Eisenberger points out very important. The milchemet hayetzer eina kamo milchemet lumim sheyesh b'matara mugderet. It's not like a regular war where you have, you know, very clear boundaries. I have to I want to conquer X piece of land. I want to get X territory. And then when I get it, it's mine. Until, you know, unless they rise up against me, it belongs to me. And Shalom Israel, this is not what this is about. In the Milchemet HaYetzer, it's not about winning and losing as much as Aval B'Milchemet HaYetzer, in the asterisk, HaMilchama Hi HaMatara. That's the Chiddush. The war itself is the goal. See, normally when one wants to capture a territory, the goal is getting the territory. The war is just a medium to get the territory. Here, it's not so much the territory, even though that's important. It's the fact that I am struggling. The fact that I'm in that battle. Which means that even if I may lose, and I say that Lashon Hara, and I scream at that person, and I eat what I shouldn't eat, and when the list goes on, the fact that I struggled with it, I really shouldn't, and you do, to a certain extent you've already won, because you're in the battle. Bezot ani boteach, I know it's a battle. So okay, I lost this round, I'll get up for the next round. And this is what we have to understand. And that is why one can never be depressed and say, oh, I'm a loser, let me just throw in the towel, it's all or nothing. No. All or nothing is I conquer the territory, I didn't conquer the territory. This is not all about all or nothing. This is about process, and life is about process. That, my friends, is idea number one. Ki teitzei l'milchama, you leave heaven. No, you're in battle form. Many different challenges, one specific that we have to work with. That's idea 1A. The second way of looking at this pasuk. The Chovos Levavos tells us, no, source number 9, your greatest enemy in the world is your evil inclination, which resides within your soul and is blended within your spirit. While you slumber and are off our guard, it remains alert, scheming to cause you harm. You became oblivious to it, but it does not become oblivious to you. It is told that a chassid once chanced upon a contingent of soldiers returning triumphantly from a fierce battle with their booty in tow. Said the chassid, "You have returned with booty from the small war. Now prepare yourselves for the great war." "And what is the great war?" queried the soldiers. "The war against the Yetzirah and his legions," responded the chassid. "For in any other battle, the enemy will cease to attack you after he's been defeated once or twice. He'll become convinced that your might is superior to his own, and he'll despair of ever giving victory over you. The Yetzirah ever is different. Whether he has been the victor or the loser 100 times, he will never cease to do battle." And here, the Manchester Rav adds that our job is a determined effort on one's part will earn him in the heavenly assistance needed to prevail. This is expressed homiletically in the Torah itself. When you go out to war against your enemy, and Hashem, your God, will deliver him into your hand. And you notice here that he translates it correctly, the him, as the singular. When one actively works at overcoming his negative desires and traits, then he's assured of Siyata Dushmaya, heavenly assistance. The key here in Ki Teitzei on level 1b is what the Nesiv HaShalom points out. And that is, a person has to be Hakla Rishoma Mechamahi Shelo Tamtin Achihu Yatkif Otcha Bevchina Pacha Lav Yitzro Ela Tadim V'Teitzei Tala Mechama Alav. Don't wait, right? The best defense is a good offense. Don't wait for the Yetzer to come to attack you. And that's the Kitavo Milchama L'Artzechem. Then Vararota Mechatzotros, you have to call out with the trumpets. I give out. You need a lot of help. Ki Teitzei L'Milchama. Be the one who's going to be proactive, being recognizing it's going to be a war. I'm on guard. I'm ready for the attack. And he says this is why, when you take a look at the war of Amalek, right? We read about Amalek in the end of our parsha. So in parsha B'Shalach, it says, Vayavo Amalek. Amalek comes to you. If the Amalek, who's the Yetzahara, comes to you first, then Vayilachin Yisrael Berufidi, then you're weakened. Then you're it's harder to overcome. Right, if somebody attacks another person, so then they're weak because they're not expecting the attack till they're able to garner strength to be able to respond. Ki teitzei l'milchama l'oyvecha, our job is to be proactive, to be constantly on alert, and to be ready to attack and ready to be able to fend off. And with this, Rav Gifter, going back to source number 11, explains the change in the grammar. Whether we realize it or not, on a daily basis, we go to battle with an enemy who seeks to influence each and every one of us. The Yetzirah, our evil inclination. The Yetzirah is extremely cunning, and even though man has but one Yetzirah, it attacks him in so many different ways and about so many different matters that at times it even appears that we're waging a battle with an entire army of negative inclinations. However, such is not the case. And just as man possesses a single Yetzirah Tov, a good inclination, so too he possesses, but a single Yetzirah. It just appears in so many different guises. Thus, when you go out to war against your enemy, the Yetzirah, whose many different appearances the Torah refers to by using the plural enemies, you're not to despair. Although you may think that the battle is hopeless since you must conquer so many enemies, realize that you need to conquer just one, the Yetzirah himself. And therefore, the Torah says in the singular, and Hashem, your God, will deliver him into your hand. If we accustom ourselves to the feeding Yetzirah, then each time he tries to assail us, we will see through his disguise and realize he's no new enemy, but only the same old foe as before. Our job on this level is to be on alert. Our job on this level is to recognize that the Yetzirah is there to try to attack us when we're not looking, when we're sleeping, when we're off guard. And when the Yetzirah attacks us when we're off guard, it is much more likely it's going to be successful. And therefore, a person has to take, to be on alert at all times, that at any moment a Yetzirah can come to attack it, and it has to be able to retaliate. And that, my friend, is really what the Kol Shofar is about. Again, Rosh Chodesh Elul, to blow Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, the 100 blasts, it's all about, as the Rambam points out, my Rosh Harim, Rav David Cohn, Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, 12 quotes, even though we do it because Rebbe Shalom told us to. Remez Yeshba, there is a hint. Klomar Uri Yesheni Mishnatchem, the Nerdamim, Hekitsu Mitar Vitamatchem, the Chipsu Bimasechem, the Chizer Betruva. It's about waking up, being able to recognize, don't go through life in sleepy mode. Be on the alert, be ready to be able to respond at all times. You know, you almost wonder, I'm thinking out loud, that the kids who play these video games, you know, you never know where the, I don't know, I don't play these games, where these the balls coming from or the bullets coming from, and you have to, like, you know, be on alert to attack if coming from any different side. That's such good practice for the Yetzer Hara. If you would just reframe these video games for the kids, Gevalt, they'll be the most, you know, expertise in defeating the Yetzer Hara. Coming from here, no, there, and you're always on alert. And that's our job. Our job is La'ora Hadam Mishnatzo. We have to wake up from our sleep. Uru Yesheni Mishnatchem. And we know when a person is sleeping, they can't respond. And it takes them much longer to respond. And then they're wheezy and tired, and the response is not going to be the most on-target response. And we, who are immersed, as the Rambam says, in the Hevle Olam Hazeh, in the physicalities of this world, we're in Am Haaretz. We're a nation of Artzios, of physicality. And to be able to allow the Seichel, the mind, to overcome that gross physicality that pulls us down, that's really where our work is at. And the way he says it, based on Ramchal 13, in the arrow, he named Cain, Chovu Mutala Adam, Latzim Atzmo Lehit Bonein. Our job is to always be with consciousness and awareness. Ki Menomit Bonein Machshev, if you're not thinking, Hine Lo Tavo Chochma, Levakesh Otov, and Yishar B'choshek B'lo Yidiyah, you're not going to be able to use the wisdom Hashem has given you to be able to get us out of all these challenges, and you just continue to walk through this world of darkness. Harei Mivuar, the asterisks in 13 on the bottom, Debadam Nitam Korach Sichli, Hashem gave us a good mind, has given us a good ability to process, Ulamu Talui Vomeid, but it's hanging in abeyance, Im Yishtamesh Bo Adam V'yichayehu V'yifal Lofi V'natzeo Kocho Osher B'shena V'lo Yotzei Kocho Lapoel. Are we going to utilize it to be able to win these wars? Or are we going to just, you know, allow life to take over us? And, you know, what do you want from me? I wasn't focused. I wasn't thinking. Like, and then we go through our whole life with this excuse. I wasn't focused. I wasn't thinking because we're sleeping. And then, of course, we can't respond appropriately. Rabbi Bernstein and Tshuva, we've done this piece before. He says one of the places that we learn the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is Gzeiros HaKatuv from the law of Yovel, of the blowing the shofar on the 50th year when the servants are let go. Once again, the command to release servants is accompanied by an expression of the reality that both the master and the servants ultimately belong to Hashem. For 49 years, the Torah allows the person a perception of a temporal reality. But once every 50 years, a higher reality is imposed. Once this happens, things change. It's a matter of course. The moment when all this is initiated is when the shofar sounded. I don't own these slaves. I don't own this land. It all belongs to Hashem. Like, being able to just have that clarity. And Rosh Hashanah, we may perceive it the same thing. The mashal of shofar as a wake-up call is very significant. When one is asleep, he's not merely inactive. He's also cut off from the reality around him. Moreover, when people are asleep, they dream, which means that they are not only are they removed from the reality around them, they have replaced it with an alternate inner reality. There's no more true depiction of one who has lost sight of real goals and higher reality than one who is, quote-unquote, sleeping through life, so to speak. In fact, he has perfected the art of sleeping while he's fully awake. He goes through life oblivious to the reality around him. His life course is dictated by virtual reality analogous to a dream where he's all-important, all-powerful, and his selfish goals are of ultimate significance. Most of his mistakes are thus not simply bad deeds, but the product of what is essentially sleepwalking through life. The solution, therefore, is not do things better, but wake up. This is where the shofar comes in. We say, with David Hashem Ori, the light is Rosh Hashanah, Hashem bor panecha yalechun. We talk about that pasuk after the blowing of the shofar. Turning on the light is turning on that clarity of vision that we are here to be able to be awake. And when I'm awake, I'm able to respond appropriately. And we all know this, particularly as mothers. If anyone has gone through a cycle of many years of having children, you don't know whether you're asleep when you're awake or awake when you're asleep. You're just in a constant, like, daze. And it's hard to respond when you're not awake, when we're just like, I'll just leave me alone. The problem is when we go through life that way. And the problem is when life attacks us in so many different ways, we don't even know how to respond. Idea number two. If idea number one in Elul is the mindset that we are here, Adam la'amal yulad, we are here to do battle. We're here to struggle. And the first thing for Elul, for our lives, for today, is to be able to find what is in that Yetzirah. What's that Midah? Right? I have to work on everything, but what's that one Midah that really triggers me, that this is where I have to be Moser Nefesh, to go above and beyond? And that's the Milchama Leivecha Unitano Hashem Elokecha. Unitano, the singular. That's the one we have to work on. The second idea, as we just noted here, it's going out to war, is we have to be proactive. We have to wake up, that's the shofar. We can't allow life to just happen to us and we are passively taking in life. We have to be on alert. And we have to recognize that the Yetzirah can come from all different, you know, avenues, and as well be able to see through the Yetzirah. That's not many different Yetziraths. Like, I have one Yetzirah with so many Yetzirahs, it's really not fair. It's like one against a zillion. No. It's one Yetzirah who dresses up, unitano, singular, as the Yevecha, as many different voices, but it's really one voice, and it's a one voice has to meet the one voice, and the shofar is about to wake ourselves up, and to be able to allow our seichel to be able to overpower our chumiers, our physicality. That's 1B. 1C. Source number 15, again, in Nesivos Shalom. What does Ki Tetzeit mean? Shitzarich latzeit mikol mitziyuto v'tiviyuto u'mikol tchunat nafsho. If you go out to war without learning how to step outside of yourself, then you're always going to just schlep along who and what you are. Part of going out to battle is to be able to take away excessive baggage and be able to have a lighter load to fight. And when you have a lighter load, Ki Tetzeit, you should leave what? Leave yourself to be able to go to battle. Now, what does this mean? And what are the many enemies versus the singular enemy? So here, my friends, I'd like to do a piece in Shaya Ostrov book, The Menucha Principle, which is a great book if you haven't read it. It's I highly recommend. All of this stuff is amazing. We've done this piece a few years ago. I can't tell you exactly, 5, 6, I don't know, years ago. It was a great success then. Mirtz Hashem will be a great success now. There's certain pieces that, in my mind, I could do this piece every Elul, and it will have the same impact. So when I do it, you say, oh, I remember, that's good. And if you don't remember, that's also, we'll forgive you. So let's take a look. We'll understand what it means to step outside of self, and we'll understand what it means, the one enemy versus many enemies. Let's take a look. Rav Victor Miller, discussing the way in which many of us may at times feel trapped in feelings of anger, shares a story about a snake and a bird. A zoologist was in the Amazon rainforest studying the behavior of a rare snake and a particular species of bird. It was widely known that this snake fed off the bird, but no one ever really understood how a reptile that slithers along the jungle floor could subsist by eating a bird that makes its nest high above in the canopy of trees. One day, the zoologist spotted the snake making its way through the jungle and followed it, hoping to solve the mystery. All of a sudden, I guess the zoologist knew that it only liked birds and not people, but that's not part of the story. All of a sudden, the snake stopped dead in its path. Well, I think it wanted to stop others dead in its path too, but that's not part of the story too. Raised its head and looked straight up. There, perhaps 100 feet above, was one of these birds, sitting innocently and seemingly protected from its predator, joining in the riot of song and sounds of the rainforest. From the perspective of the researcher, there was no way the snake could ever reach the bird, so he just waited patiently to observe the scene as it unfolded. The snake opened its jaws and extended its fangs toward the bird. At first, the bird was oblivious. Then it caught sight of the menacing snake, and it began staring at its predator. Within a few moments, the mesmerized bird had become motionless. The singing had stopped, and soon the zoologist noticed the bird's first slight tremors. The trembling became more pronounced until the bird was shaking and shivering uncontrollably. Within a few moments, as if already dead, the helpless bird fell from its safe perch atop the jungle canopy into the waiting jaws of the triumphant snake. Wow, is that a great picture? After hearing Rob Miller describe the scene, I asked myself, what if I cared about this bird? Perhaps I could speak the language of bird, and witnessing this scene, feel the need to rescue this helpless prey. What would I say or do? I realized I would want to tell the bird, hey bird, wake up! Don't you realize this snake has no control of you? Don't you remember that you have wings and fly? Don't you remember that Hashem gave you those wings just as it gave the power to fly? Perhaps that bird would hear me and suddenly realize that he did have this wonderful power of flight. And even as he hurtled down toward the waiting jaws of this fearsome predator, he would shudder, snap out of his trance, spread his wings, pull out of his death dive just in time to save itself. Of course, my image is all fantasy. The laws governing nature are very different and follow precise, immutable rules. Even though the wings were there without the consciousness that they could be used, they were as useless. Without the consciousness that they could be used, they were as useless to the bird as two lifeless wooden boards attached to its body. Just as the bird had lost its ability to fly during its fixation on the terrifying snake, we too, you're wondering where we come in here? Here it goes, my friends. Become mesmerized by our own Pizur HaNefesh and lose our Bechira. The book discusses Pizur HaNefesh at length. Pizur HaNefesh, in a very brief description, is being bombarded from so many different sides. We'll talk more about it in a minute, being just overwhelmed by so many different things that you can't focus, you can't be in self, and then you're just completely overloaded and flooded. The knowledge that I'm being recreated at each moment informs me that I'm always given the opportunity to rediscover my freedom from the strong pull of Pizur HaNefesh. I may be a husband ready to blow up at my wife, Chas Hashem, just 5 minutes before lich benching. I may have a need to feel upset about business loss, a parking meter ticket, hurt feelings from my past, or anything else. The thought of feeling may be overwhelming and certainly it perceives as justified. However, I know it takes me on that downward spiral, which turns me into the helpless bird that forgot it has wings to fly. So I stop and realize that I'm trapped. In fact, I am given freedom from Mitzrayim with every breath. Hashem is creating me anew at every moment. My ceiling of self just went from being squashed into the sides of a piece of lint to reaching beyond the heavens. I realized that we're never given life to be imprisoned by our own negative perceptions. I may not yet understand how to find the key to freedom from my anxieties, anger, sadness, or any other negative state of mind. Yet my realization that I'm being continuously created comes from the belief that along with my renewal, Hashem will also make it possible for me to discover the gateway to my freedom. Ki teitzei, yitziat Mitzrayim. I can leave the situation that I'm in. I can leave my baggage and be able to respond to the situation I am in right now. I am able to, you know, be triggered, because we can't usually stop that immediate response. I can be triggered to get angry. All right, I can't overcome that, right? The bird is like mesmerized and it's, but as I'm going down, I have the ability to take those wings, ki teitzei, and go out against the enemy. In the Chovos Levavos, the Gate of Bitachon defines the meaning of Bitachon as a belief that no event can occur in our lives and not direct of Hashem's intervention. Being aware of our lives at the crossroads means that we are aware that Hashem places us into every situation of our lives and He wishes us to emerge closer to our true selves. Chazal tells us it's the same way with our life challenges. Hashem gives us life challenges so we shouldn't have nemedir chisufa, the bread of embarrassment. I acknowledge my own struggles to truly deserve your reward. Therefore, whenever I realize that Hashem has placed me here at this moment and given me this challenge, I'm confronting. I also realize that I'm not that helpless bird. Along with my awareness of Chiddush comes a promise that since I am a new creation, every moment I'm also possessed an inner guide that enables me to emerge from my challenge with a new sense of freedom to be my true and deeper self. We are placed in this challenging moment to be so we can transform Pizor HaNefesh into Menuchas HaNefesh, to take that enemy, plural, the Pizor HaNefesh, there's so many things that are bombarding me, U'nitano Hashem Elokecha B'yadecha, I can be able to hold it in my hand because I recognize that I have the ability of U'nitano, what is given to me, not the enemy, but Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem has invested in me that spiritual side of Menuchas HaNefesh, that I can be able to win this war. I can take the captives. There are many oivecha, there's pizor hanefesh, but unitano, the menuchas hanefesh, to be able, the way he defines the menuchas hanefesh, is to coordinate in 23 all the powers that Hashem has granted us toward achieving our life's mission. And thereby we gain, going back into 20 in the bracket, an additional gem in our crown of pride and accomplishment that made our journey in this world worthwhile. These are events that occur in the here and now, but their impact resonates for all eternity. You know, perhaps just to bring this down for a moment, and perhaps we can relate to this, I'll just share with you, just very briefly, because the hour is late and we have a lot more to do, what Pizor HaNefesh looks like. And when, again, we put all these pieces together, when we are able to call a spade, when we're able to name it to tame it, when we're able to go out against our enemy because I am alert and awake, then I'm able to handle the Pizor HaNefesh in a much deeper, more unified way. And I step out of the self of being overwhelmed and say, I'm centered, I'm focused, and this is what I need to deal with right now. This is what Hashem is gifting me with. I'm going to handle the situation rather than feeling flooded. So just to give a short description of this morning, I'm filming today, Erev Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, both couples are coming, cooking for part of the meal for tonight for somebody. And here it is, 10 o'clock last night, and I'm still working on the shiur. I was out all day, haven't started cooking. You get the picture. So chickens come in that were delivered, and I had a number of people in my house last night, and I told, we put it in the freezer, and then I said, oh, you know what, take two chickens out for a second half of Shabbos to cook. So they put them in the refrigerator, and I'm assuming that if chickens that are fresh come in, you take fresh chickens and you put them in the refrigerator. Well, that's not exactly what happened, and the fresh chickens were a certain hechsher that one of the couples eat, and the chickens that were taken out were not that hechsher. So I opened up the chickens this morning. I knew the chickens looked like chicken, but it was the raw chicken. So here I have chicken that I don't need, you know, because now I have to start defrosting chicken that I do need because it's a different hechsher. As this daughter says to me when she walks into the house and she sees a certain food, she says to me, is it kosher? I said, please don't say that because someone's going to walk in here and think I don't keep kosher. Is it your hechsher? That's a much more appropriate question. Okay, so my morning is thrown off for the chickens that I don't have. Okay, that's fine. Then I go to make challah, and I know I bought 3 bags of flour, and I only can find 2 bags. So I say, no big deal. There's a makolah next door. I go to the makolah, and of course it's closed. So then I go to the car, and I go to the next makolah, and of course there's no parking. And then I finally find parking, and obviously they don't have the flour that I need. I 80%. They only have 100% whole wheat or 100% flour. Now, you could become overwhelmed already by this, but you say, no, this is the exact situation that Hashem is putting me in. He's putting me in situations which are challenging. Okay, we put up the challah, and then a friend calls me with a crisis that she wants me to help me with. While she's on the phone, a girl that I learn with calls, so I try to deal with my friend, and then I'm going to go learn with this girl. And she starts crying hysterically. She can't find a job. She can't even have money for Shabbos. She's falling apart. Meanwhile, we have a gemach on Friday. Calls are coming in left, right, and center to be able to make appointments for the gemach. So, are you getting the picture here? So, and I have to still tape. And I still have to get the chicken in. And I have to get... So, welcome to most of our lives. This is Pizor HaNefesh, literally being bombarded by phone calls, by crises, by people crying, by stores not being open, by not having the products we want, by not having the chicken we want, and we can't be chicken about it. And we have to say, well, I am not going to fall into the fangs of the snake. I recognize this is the Yitzhahara who's trying to overcome me, Erev Shabbos, or Chodesh Elul, that I should lose it. Wow! Thank you, Yitzhahara. But I am not going to feel Pizur HaNefesh. I'm going to feel Menuchas HaNefesh, that each one of these struggles is exactly where Hashem wants me to be. When I realize that, then Unetano, in the singular, I am going to be able to take that Tzel Melukim, that Menuchas HaNefesh, that core and center, and be able to say, I'll deal with each situation as it comes up, and I forgot the Shidduch Kol in the middle there. You get the picture. It was... Or three of the Shidduch Kols trying to reach me about the Shidduch Kol. And that's all within the space of a half hour. It's all good, because it's all coming from a place of goodness. That, my friends, is level number one. Just to end level number one, it's a beautiful idea of the Ale Ale Hahara in 25D. We know that the Aramaic translation of Elul is Latur, to search out. Like a scouting. When we say Elul is here, it's about to scout out. 25D, Inyan Rigul Ubedika Shayach B'Mukad Likrat Yitzil Mechama Ubemalacha. Just like people go to scout out a land before they're going to fight it, our job in Elul is to scout out the fighting field, the spiritual fighting field, to see where do we need to work on? What's the mid I need to work on? How I need to be more awake, being able to respond to situations in life, how I need to recognize that I am a bird with wings and I can't fall into the snake of Pizur HaNefesh, of being overwhelmed and just melting and just collapsing into the fangs of the snake. I have to learn how to fly. I have to learn how to key take say, to leave self, which is so heavy with so many things, and be able to focus in on the core, Unetano Hashem Elokecha. That's level number one. In the 10 minutes that we have left or so, I just want to bring one more idea with two different parts to it. On bringing these ideas now into a little bit into the world of the practical, I'll start in the world of the up there and then move down. And that is, what is one of the greatest tool the Yetzirah uses? If I know I need to be in the battle and I need to be awake and alert, what am I looking out for? What is one of the tactics of the Yetzirah that he tries to get me with, so that at least I can be on guard for that Yetzirah and be able to respond appropriately? And that is one word, and that's the next pasuk, Viraita, and you will see the power of the Yetzirah is the heart desires, the eyes see, the heart desires, and one falls into the trap of the snake. The bird looks down and sees the snake. Goodbye, bird. This is our challenge. Our challenge is what we see. I want to preface this with a fascinating essay, which we don't have time to even go through the selections that I did inside. It's 26 through 32. Really next page as well. I will highlight it, 34. I will highlight the ideas, and you can learn it inside B'Sharei HaMo'adim of Shmuel Brazil. He says that if we were to choose what's the koach of the Yetzirah, the answer is the ayin in the word ra. Hashem calls it Yetzirah. The ayin, the eye in the word ra, the letter ayin and the concept of I, is the power of the Yetzirah. That's why the Gemara tells us that tzaddikim in the future will look at the Yetzirah, they'll see it as a great mountain. Because the Yetzirah, when you take away the ayin away from the har, from hara, you have har, a mountain. The tzaddikim have that ability to separate the ayin from the ayin hara. And indeed, we know that the nachash, who's referred to as the Yetzirah, is referred to as arom. He is the most sly. Arom is made up of two words. Ayin Rom. The Ayin, the eye, is his height. And indeed, when the Yetzirah sees the Adam and Chava, what was it that brought him to try to seduce them? So Rashi tells us that he saw them involved in intimacy, le'ain kol, in front of everybody. When he saw that they were acting in a way counter to sneas, where everything was exposed, that exposition is what is the field of the Yetzer Hara, and he knew he had them in his grip. And therefore, the cult no or, as Rabbi Meir's Sefer Torah says, with an Aleph, originally it was a luminous body where you could see the neshama, that Aleph turned into an ayin, called no or. We now have, the skin that we have is the ayin, is that which has the good and evil intermingled together. And hence, our job is to be able to overcome the ayin umos, the 70 forces of the nations who want to draw us away from the Ribono Shel Olam, and we have to be focused on the way of Hashem. And therefore we understand that Klal Yisrael go down to Egypt with 70 nefashos. Their job is to counter and not be affected, and litakate, to be able to rectify the Yetzer Hara and the evil of Mitzrayim. What enabled them to do this? Why were they successful in not having immoral relations? It's because Yosef HaTzadik came down earlier and he overcame his Yetzer Hara. And what was Yosef HaTzadik blessed with? He's blessing by Yaakovinu is he's Alei Ayin. He goes above the eye. He's not affected by the eye. He's not affected by the Ayin Hara, because he has been able to overcome the ayin, right? All these girls are trying to seduce him. He doesn't look. A Shapostifar is trying to seduce him. He doesn't look. The ability not to look is your protection not to get caught in the fangs of the Yetzer Hara. And obviously, we know the Chet HaEgel. Egel is ayin gimel lamed. The ayin, that ability of the Ah, the Ra, was Gilui, Gam, was revealed. And hence, Chazal tell us that the first Luchos were broken because the Ayin Hara affected them. They were unable to control that evil, that Ra. Okay, my friends, obviously it gets deeper than this. Just add one more idea and then we'll get out of this, or two more ideas. Yosef HaTzadik gets out of prison, Chazal tells us in Rosh Hashanah. Who cares? Yosef HaTzadik gives us the ability to break out of the ayin, Rosh Hashanah. We have the ability to break out of the Yetzer Hara. We have the ability to break a malach. A malach is the ayin malach. Malach is like to break the neck of the bird. The malach tries us to detach ourselves from the reshit, from the Rosh Hashanah, to be able to connect to Hashem. They want us just to be living in the world of ayin, the world of Ra. Our job, my friends, is, and we daven for this, u'bacharta b'chaim. B'chaim, and choose life, is the numerical value of 70. As the Baal Turim says, we live 70 years, average, in order to be able to be metakein, the ayin, the 70, the Ra, in this world. U'bacharta b'chaim, b'chaim, is 70. We have to choose life. And when we daven on Rosh Hashanah and we say, Zachreinu l'chaim, el chafet b'chaim, have in mind, our job here is to overcome the ayin, the ra, to not be able to be drawn in by the evil forces of what we see. So what is the power of the Yetzer Hara? The power of the Yetzer Hara is the next word, viraita. He wants you to see. When you see, you desire. When you desire, it's the bird. The bird sees the snake, it falls apart. We have to be careful what we see. We also have to be careful what we put our focus in on. And I'd like to look at this very briefly on two levels for our lives to work on it. Elul. In A Time to Tremble, many different essays, the essay of A Time to Refocus by Rabbi Reisman, he says that Mishlei has the Eshet Chayah, the woman of valor, and also talks about the Isha Zara v'Nachriya, an evil woman who seduces people. And that, the Ralbag says, is a mashal to the emptiness of the gashmias of this world. And she presents it as indulgence, as the pursuit of physical pleasures, and it distracts us from Torah. What do we focus it on? It depends on your focus. What's important to you? The Isha Zara v'Nachriya, represents doing mitzvahs with emptiness, without passion. If your focus in life is on the physical, you won't get excited about the spiritual and doing mitzvahs. You will do the mitzvahs because you must, not because you want to. You will count down to the end of Shabbos. You will dread a three-day yontif. You will complain how expensive the matzos and etrog are. There are two ways to look at everything in Yiddishkeit. An intelligent person sees it for the pnimius that it holds, sees it for the depth it contains. He realizes that every minute of Shabbos and yontif is precious. He cherishes the opportunity to do mitzvahs. But the followers of the Ishaz HaRav HaNachriyav, our generation, see only emptiness and hollowness and doing mitzvahs and avodas Hashem. The example Rabbi Reisman gives is he was at a wedding of a Talmud, and the grandmother comes over to him and says to Rabbi Reisman, "Did you enjoy the lamb chops at the smorgasbord?" And he says, "Well, if you would show me what lamb chops are, I could tell you whether I enjoyed them." And Rabbi Reisman comments, and he says, the question that you should be talking to the Rosh Yeshiva of the Talmud is, tell me about my son, and something spiritual, lamb chops, is what we look at. What do we look at in life? Do we look at the ruchnius of his grandson, or do we look at lamb chops? And that's one idea of what Elul is about. In Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we must develop a passion for the things that are really important, for things that really matter. And we have to be pulled in the right direction. So one of the work of Chodesh Elul is to focus in on what's important. When I have opportunities that come in front of me, what's my values? Are my values, you know, it's like reorienting what my values are. What do I get upset about? What excites me? We spoke about this last week. That's what Elul's about, to be able to see what's really important in life. As somebody who became a millionaire overnight, Rabbi Reisman brings down this story. And he went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal, and asked, you know, I'm worried about Ayin Hara. And Reb Chaim says, are you learning more now that you have more money? No. Did you add a Seder to your Limud? Did you add more time to learning? No. He says, if you're not adding more time to learning and you're not learning more, then why would anyone be jealous of you? Right? Like, that's not even my worldview, jealous of money. Like, what is our worldview? What do we focus in on? And the Yitzhahara is very good at painting the picture of Olam Hazeh in the most glorious terms, and the Ruchnius in the most, again, the I versus you, dreadful terms. You don't spend money on a lemon for 1 week. Are you nuts? You know what you could buy with that money? Right? Matzahs? For cardboard? You're to spend this money? What's our focus? The Yitzhahara is very good at having us see things in a negative light. And finally, how do we look at others? That's also part of what the Ayin Tova is about. There is a fantastic email, and I wrote the email here, L. Leibovitz at vadproject.org. I believe he's from Denver, Colorado. Look, Rabbi Levi Leibovitz comes out with a weekly email that I find to be so on target. I think he was the Haggadah that I had mentioned, really speaking to our generation. And I asked permission if I could cut and paste the three emails, parts of them together. Rabbi Eliezer responded from Yochanan Zakkai. What's the path that a person should go on? He says an Ayin Tova. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that's an all-inclusive path. Many of us used to think of Ayin Tova as a midos. Either I'm born with it or not. No, it's not just a midah. It's a pathway. It's a life choice. What does this mean? So Rabbi Rucham defines that living with a good eye means routinely choosing to see the diamond in the rough, to spy out the good in situation even when it's not easily discernible. On the flip side, living with an Ayin Hara means seeing out the negative even when things look pretty good. When we use an Ayin Hara, we're constantly writing off people and possibilities around us. We can't find anything to compliment. We can't encourage others because we're pessimistic about their prospects. We hesitate to give to people money, time, attention because we don't feel they're worth it, or that our gift is worth enough. When we make the switch to Ayin Tova, we consciously choose to see more in others, in ourselves, in the world. We start to appreciate others' values and pop-up compliments. We feel more optimistic about what they have to offer, what they can achieve. And it goes beyond that. When we're living for ourselves, Ayin Tova is about bringing goodness into our lives. But when we live for others, it's about filling the world around us with goodness. And it gives the example, and this really ties it together, the Pizur HaNefesh and the Menuchas HaNefesh. He describes heading to the airport with a me-centered attitude. We're swallowed up by stress. I have things to do. I need to get places on time. I need things to work out. But if we went to the airport with an Ayin Tova attitude, What opportunities could I find here to bring goodness to others? To smile to TSA people. The guy who's struggling with his shoes said, don't worry, take your time. Being able to see things in the positive light, to give off positive energy. Living for ourselves is easiest, but we fill both our purpose on earth and our own deepest desires when we live for others. When asking ourselves, how can I view the situation with an iron tova, doesn't just mean how can I feel better in the moment, but how can I channel goodness into the world around me right now? And that, my friends, is what the Eitz HaHara doesn't want us to do. The Ayin Ra is to see everything negatively, everything pessimistic, being critical, being down, and everything is... And that's the Eitz HaHara at its best. It's chopping at those birds left, right, and center. The Ayin Tova as the wings to fly, to see goodness in yourself, to see goodness in others, to see goodness in the world, to be able to reframe everything in the positive. When one has that view of the Ayin Tova, then one is able to see the world in a whole different light. And that, my friends, is the one way to combat the Eitz HaHara doing Elo. To be on alert for an Ayin Tova. To be on alert, to be able to see the spiritual things in my life in a positive way, and to be able to see the individuals in my life and the situations that I'm in a positive way. In that way, I don't live a world of peace or a nefesh. I live a world alert. Let me find, I spy opportunities to be able to bring goodness to others, to be able to bring that menuchas hanefesh, that centeredness, that focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm using my eyes that Hashem has given me for that Ayin Tova, to see goodness and pleasantness in the world around me. It refocuses the entire month of Elul as opportunities of growth, goodness, and bountifulness.